Welcome to Michigan Ice Guys, podcasting to help you fish hard water better.
Hey guys, we're the MI Ice Guys, and here it is, mid-January. We've had some great ice.
Yeah.
Man, it's been an adventure. I've been staying home. You've been on the road, though, Steph.
Been running around, traveling, took the train to Devil's Lake, North Dakota.
Well, there was an adventure. We drove down to one Friday morning, Steph come over and says, take me to Kalamazoo, and we went and had breakfast after we found the train station because, you know, we're not from Kalamazoo.
Yeah.
And had a good breakfast and sent him off on his way to Devil's Lake. And how was the train ride?
Oh, train ride was fantastic. You know, it was a couple hours to Chicago from Kalamazoo. Switched trains, and it was really nice there. I mean, station was fine. And got to check out the station, grab a bite to eat, jump on the train, and you can kind of kick back like a little recliner. You got a footrest, kick it back, take a nap.
A little more glamorous.
Dining car, observation car. It's all glass on top.
Okay.
So you can sit in there and look at the scenery. And
so just a touch more glamorous than what we had going Finland, but...
Yeah, it was nice.
It was a nice train, it sounds like.
Yeah, you have to reserve your dinners on that train.
Oh, okay.
So you do a dinner plan, or you can just go to the cafe cart there and have snacks and such.
Well, that sounds cool. And so you got out to Devil's Lake, and Chad goes and picks you up, and then you guys went fishing, right?
Yep. Headed up to Botano, North Dakota, to Metagoshi.
Metagoshi. Yeah, that is a nice sweatshirt there. Steph's illustrating his new Metagoshi sweatshirt to me. So you guys got a day of pre-fishing in, and then off you went to competition.
Yeah, the first day, Saturday, when I got there, they were doing a state championship on North Lake of Metagoshi. So we didn't make it there in time to do that, but we had time to... We did a little bit of scouting, and then we did the kids' ice camp with Jack.
Cool.
So we had to tie up probably 100 rods, put line on them, and get the kids out on the ice, catching some little perch. We didn't find any bluegills right there off the launch, but kids got to catch a few bluegills or a few little perch.
That's awesome.
And they had fun.
Well, later in the show, we're going to talk about our similar event here in Grand Rapids that we're going to do like that. But so then you got off to competition. Now, this is a morning competition. When's first gun?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Well,
yeah, we start lining up at 7.
8 o'clock mountain time, so that's not bad.
Of course, we randomly somehow drew the first starting position, so we had to be in line at 7. Chad and I were number one to leave.
Sweet.
And we're like, nobody followed us to our spot. And it was like, everybody went to our second spot. And I was like, wonder if we should have went to our second spot. We probably should have just stayed at our second spot all day, and we'd have done a lot better. But we had fun. We didn't. The first spot, we panned out there about 45 minutes and just was not finding the big gills like we had pre-fish.
Yeah, it's funny how that one day can change the patterns of the fish and where the big fish are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people, and we've had some discussions in some other groups here recently about pre-fishing and scouting beforehand and then counting on them days later. It's always a crapshoot.
Are they still there?
Yeah, we talk about it in a lot of our seminars. When you pre-fish and check these things out, take some note, do that stuff, but you're not going to bank on them being there. It's not fishing a barrel here.
Yeah, and even some people, they even go out and they like put their fish to bed, you know, the night before the tournament, go out there and make sure they're there, and even then it's not going to guarantee they're going to be there in the morning because they're maybe it's an afternoon bite.
Yeah,
you know,
I noticed that back here in Michigan. We had several days where morning was not what afternoon was, and sometimes vice versa. That was really, really wild. So then, okay, so how did you guys end up?
We had a really good turnout up there. We had 42 teams competing. We ended up in eighth place.
Eighth place. That's respectable.
Oh, yeah. If we would have stuck in our second spot all day like we should have, but hindsight's always 20/20.
Exactly. You know,
could have stayed there and pounded. I do a lot of sorting. We caught a lot of bluegills.
Now, did you take the scales? I know we talked previously about...
Yeah, we took two scales.
You invested in some new scales. And for those of you that aren't keeping up to date with and hanging on every frozen word of ours, the guys ran into an issue a while back at the championship where the scales were copping out on them. And so they invested in some new scales. What'd Chad buy, four of them or something silly?
Yeah, and I picked up a couple.
Yeah, okay, so six scales to do that. Now, we're talking about real scales, little digital scales that you're going to weigh the fish on, because at the end of these tournaments, you're turning in your eight best bluegill and your eight best crappie in most of the tournament. And so to evaluate what are your eight best, especially on a lake like Metagoshi, where you're only allowed to have 10 in possession of each.
Yes.
Per person?
Per person.
So that doesn't leave a lot of wiggle room for extra fish laying about to change up at the last minute. You don't want to get caught on the ice with too many fish. It's the same kind of problem state to state. So the guys, they take and they evaluate fish as they catch them. Is this one as good as the last one? one in the bucket or the one that looks closest to it and such, so that they can truly have their eight best when they go to turn in. And yeah. So a scale is an important part of that.
And this one here in North Dakota was just a bluegill tournament, and it was 10. You turned in 10 bluegills. That was
10
it.
10 bluegills.
Yep. And so the crappies you caught, they went back down the hole, you know.
But you had 10 backups because you could have 10 and Chad could have 10.
Correct.
Yep. You'd have 20 in your possession, you turn in the 10 best. That's still kind of a narrow field.
Yes, it is.
You know, here in Michigan, we have a 25 limit of combined. So that means 8 and 8 turning in at the end of the day, you're going to be having the extra fish there of 42 fish that you don't have to turn in that you can pick from. So you guys got to understand there's a lot of strategy. And when you go to weigh in.
We went to sort our fish. Now I'm counting them. I threw 7 out and there's 3 in the cooler. Now I'm like, I guess we got our 10, Chad. Because we were weighing our gills as we caught them.
Yeah.
And we'd take them over to the fish bucket, weigh them. And if they were, you know, 8 ounces or more, they were going in the cooler. So our 8 was decent. We just didn't get any big kickers. The biggest one we got was 0.89 pounds. And that was still a really nice gill.
0.89 pounds. Yeah. Michigan. we'd be all over Facebook with pictures of that if we had one of those. For those of you guys that do follow Facebook, Steph and Chad actually got to spend a couple extra days there in North Dakota hanging out with some friends and got to catch some more fish, just out fun fishing.
Yeah, we got the fun fish with Kathy Roberts and Dave Gens.
Yeah, you guys have heard of the Vexilar Gens pack. Well,
yep, and Dave, the Blue Shannies.
The Blue Shannies, yeah.
Pretty much the founder of Clam, so.
So Gens was out there and hanging with the boys, catching. I got some pictures. I posted them up on Facebook of the guys with their big catches and stuff. And Chad, he was showing off the big old bluegill he got. What lake was that on that he got that big bluegill on?
That was Scandia, on Metagoshi.
On, yep. Metagoshi?
Mm-hmm.
And we'd hooked him up with some new Scandia Wonderbreads and Bloody Noses. Our good friend from K&E Tackle, Jack Horning, had met up and had dinner with me down in Middleville. And we exchanged some goods. And when I took Steph the next morning to the train station, I'm like, here, Chad needs some jigs, you need some Wonderbreads, everybody's hunting for these Wonderbreads, you better take some with you and try them out. And it was really, really a cheerful thing, and I know Jack really appreciated seeing the picture, yeah, of that monster gill. If you guys didn't see it, jump out on MIIS Guys Facebook page and check out that picture of Chad sitting there, and he's wearing his new Norfin suit, looking very stylish.
Yeah, our 10 gills was just over 6 pounds, so yeah, they were some solid gills. The winners had just over 7. We were just shy of a pound out of tying them. You know,
that's crazy.
Those are some big bluegills.
That's some big, big bluegills. Now, back here in Michigan, we were not quite getting those, but I've got some good stories later in the show for that. So then you guys jumped in the car in the Escape.
Yeah, well, we spent a few days fishing, like you said, with Dave and them, and Jack Baker and his daughter came out with us.
Yeah, now, if you guys don't know who Jack Baker is, we've doing a little name dropping here. Jack runs the NAIFC. That's the North American Ice Fishing Circuit. Those are the competitions that you hear that Chad and Steph and Anthony and Uncle Myron are all traveling to here in the U.S. quite a bit. Now, I'm hoping to go up and join you guys for the St. Helens tournament and maybe even wiggle in on a team here. Maybe get a chance to fish that one with you guys.
You might have to fish with me if I don't hear from my bro.
Well, Dale, you're an idiot. I'm going to fish with Steph. But anyway, we also then, you guys took off in the Escape and headed for Montana. How long a drive is that?
About 12 hours if you take it straight through, but between getting gas and everything else, probably closer to 14. And it took us even longer because we had to fix one of the bearings on Jack's trailer. He's had nothing but problems with his trailer, but we got that fixed in Minot. We stopped there and fixed that.
Weren't we fixing that a couple of years ago here in Michigan?
Yeah. We had to replace the bearings in my house.
Yeah, same trailer.
Same trailer.
Yeah, Jack.
But, yeah.
But anyway, we so you guys, you know, 14-plus hours out there and get out there to Montana, and now you're fishing rainbows in the mountains.
Yeah, we'll change of gear there. Change of tactic.
Well, not only were you changing fishing gear.
We changed elevation by about 6,000 feet.
Yeah. But for those of you that have watched on Facebook and our pictures and stuff, Chad has a quad we call the Beast because the Beast has tracks and it is an 850cc Can-Am 2-Up. It's camo, so it looks like a Beast.
Mm-hmm.
And his daughter calls it Wheelie, but he doesn't very often have the wheels on it. But Wheelie was getting stuck.
On Friday. Yeah, Thursday when we got there, we had no issues getting around the lake. And then that night, and as some of the guys knew coming up, it took them an extra 4 hours to make the trip from Bozeman through the Gallatin Pass. Because overnight, we got over a foot of snow on the lake and through that area. So it put a lot of weight on the ice and kicked up a... made crack, and with the warm temperatures, that water came up and made, I had slush up to my knees. So you'd get going with a quad and you'd break through that crust layer and it would start pushing, trying to push all that slush and snow in front of it. And you'd have, you know, 10-foot snowbank in front of you. You're stopped. So you just kind of have to push it backwards and back it out, try a different route. But, you know, I spend all day Friday pretty much an hour of fishing and 6 hours of getting, you know, getting unstuck.
Yeah, that was crazy. Then you sent me those pictures. You guys found a solution.
Went and rented us a couple sleds.
And not only just sleds.
Those are mountain sleds.
These were mountain sleds. 163-inch
track. Yeah, they were like Polaris 800. They were rocking.
Oh, my God. They were rocking. Just flying.
3-inch lugs. Those things scooted.
Yeah, so they just floated
they
over everything.
Set right up on top of this, all that stuff. I'd step off from it, and you'd sink up to your knee, and it was like I'd jump back on the machine, and it stayed right there. It was great. Fantastic.
You almost needed your jet sled just to stand in.
Mm-hmm. We could have ran jets. Chad's jet boat out there on the lake. There was so much water.
That is crazy. That is just unbelievable.
By the time we got the sleds and finished the kids' ice camp there on Saturday, we got about 2 hours of pre-fishing in that evening, and we didn't mark a fish that Saturday evening at all our spots. We checked a few spots and didn't catch one, didn't mark one for 2 hours. Then it was getting dark and time for the rules meeting that you mandatory have to be to, you know. So we parked the sleds up at Sean's cabin right there by the lake and then drove back into town, and we just gave it our best on Sunday.
I bet that didn't make for the best night's sleep because you're like, I haven't marked any fish.
Yeah, it's like, what the heck?
But then you guys got out there and got into some fish.
Oh, yeah, we got in some nice fish. Good quality size. You know, Chad caught an extra early, a small one early, and I was like, we'll upgrade that one. We needed it.
Yeah.
Because you can turn in six, and that would have been our six, and we caught five after that, and some really nice ones. The biggest one was probably almost not quite 3 pounds, but nice sized rainbow for out there.
Yeah.
Through the ice.
Now, we mentioned you were upgrading some equipment. Now, when we were last on recording, we were talking that we had made a run around central Michigan, kind of north of Grand Rapids and east there, hitting a number of bait shops and places looking for some specifics, and you found some long rods.
Yep.
Some Snyder long rods that you wanted, because the rainbow, just like they do in the summer, just like any trout,
yeah, just
really
like steelhead. You like that long light action rod to absorb the head shakes.
Yeah, head shakes. Yep. And they'll spit hooks. If you don't have that kind of cushion or the elasticity on
the
rod.
They worked great for practice. We never lost a fish.
Never lost a fish in practice.
I was like, tournament day hit. I lost two. Chad lost three, probably in the last hour. That would have
put you right up
put
there
it right
in the
top. Top 10. Easy. Well, if we probably would have kept that one fish, we'd have been in the top 10. Because with our five fish, we beat probably five other teams that had six fish with our five. So we had good quality.
Yeah.
You know, we just needed two more nice ones to be right up there in the wood category.
Yeah.
But it was like...
Well, I saw also that during some of your practice fishing and such, that you had a special guest bait technician
that came
to join you guys. Chad's wife, Becca, who is not really a fisherman, decided to fly out and join the guys for the weekend. And then Steph flew home and she rode back with Chad.
Yeah. Well, she got to help out at the kids' camp. We also took her to see the wolves and the grizzly bears up there in West Yellowstone. So she loves wolves and never seen a live one in person. So scratch that off her list. And the mountains. She's never been out in the mountains neither. So that was really nice to take her through Gallatin Pass and to see all that out there. And the setting that we were in was very beautiful.
Well, that must have been a nice drive back for the two of them. I know Chad spends a lot of time away from home with all of his tournaments and guiding and everything else. Sometimes I think he sleeps more nights of the year at your house than he does at his own. So that was probably pretty awesome. But I did love the one Facebook picture where she was holding the bait.
Mm-hmm.
And you said she was all fine until you told her there was one
crawling off
up
her arm. That was awesome.
And knowing Becca, I know that was probably really funny.
She was a trooper. She did good.
Well, great. Well, it's great to hear that you guys had such an adventurous time out there and everything. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what I was doing and what the conditions have been around Michigan here in our next segment here on the MI Ice Guys, podcasting hardwater fishing in the Great Lakes State. Guys, when you're out on the ice, do you protect your eyes? The MI Ice Guys have partnered with Costa Del Mar Sunglasses. Made in America, made by hand. the thinnest glass technology for sunglasses. 100% UV protection. We love our Costas so much, we took them to Finland, to the worlds. They allowed us to see where other people had been drilling before, protected our eyes in the blowing snow, and kept us looking good on the ice. Made in America, Costa Del Mar sunglasses. Get them online, get them at a local retailer near you. Remember, tell them the MI Ice guys sent you, and you need the best. Hey guys, we're the MI Ice guys, and it's time to talk some more Michigan. We've had a great little segment there starting us off, hearing about Steph's adventures with Chad going out west and handling the western loop, I guess you could call it, of the NAIFC tournament. But while he was gone, I kept fishing. And just like you guys, we found some cold-ass temperatures. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about today is some really super cold tactics. Now, the obvious benefit, the ice is great. Okay, we did get some days where we had some warm-ups during the day, but it dropped below freezing almost every night so far this month. And what it did is it glared the ice, though. I mean, there was days that reminded me of that time out on Blue Lake when we couldn't barely walk. But the cleats, the Catulas that I wear, and whatever brand of cleats that you wear were really a necessity when we got out there. A couple of little lakes I went to, you just didn't want to be out there without them. But the super cold weather means some other issues. You got to worry about keeping your hands dry so you don't get cold. I got really chapped up because I was, you know, getting wet, taking fish off.
It'll dry out quick.
And my hands are cracking and stuff. So you want to take care of your hands, guys, and, you know, get some lotion on them. Or I like to get into, like, the bag balm or something like that. When you get home at night, just to soften them up, heal them up so they don't crack and hurt, because then you get into some real bad cracks, it can be very painful, and you don't want to fish.
Yeah, like that Gold Bond medicated cream works really good.
That's a good product as well. But when we were out there, what I was finding is that they had these fish were locked into the weed bed.
They're locked to the bottom, too. Glued, they were staying low.
Glued to the bottom. They were hard to pry off the bottom. We were having to play a lot of jig games with them. Now, our friend Greeny, he showed up, and all he had was plastics, and I'm like, Greeny, Greeny, you cannot get a fish that's stuck to the bottom to come up for a plastic. They need meat. They need something a little more natural and smaller.
Little scent. Yep.
It's still early enough scent's working when you get super cold and up higher in the water. Because you got to remember, guys, that the bottom is warm.
Yep.
The top is the cold part in the winter. In the fall, that lake turns over, and in the spring, it turns back to where the, you know, in the summer, it's cold on the bottom. In the winter, it's cold on top because it's right next to the ice. So the fish are going to go to where it's down warmer, being a cold-blooded creature. And they were just sticking down there. They were not feeding very hard up off the bottom. Some days we could pull them up a couple of feet, not most.
Yeah, it was rare. Right before we left for our trip, you know, fishing before Christmas there and during Christmas, when we got back from championship, those fish were glued to the bottom. You know, you could drill holes and use your flasher, but you had to drop down to see if they were there because you could drill 100 holes and not mark a fish.
Yeah, unfortunately, with my new flasher, and I know your FL28 is pretty good at it too, you'd see just the slightest bit of activity on the bottom, and that made it worth it to drop down and see if you could pull some up. And if you had the right pattern and the right color, you could pull them up off the bottom, but getting them to bite was often quite a different chore. I was playing with different jig patterns. You know, we've said in seminars several times, you know, if you got a jig pattern that works to get them up off the bottom, stick to it. It's just like down at the dance. If the girl likes the way you're dancing, she's going to come out and dance with you. Don't change it up when she gets there. Okay.
Whatever cadence you use to track that fish and get him to come up and check you out, keep doing it.
Keep doing it. Stay regular with it. Now, if it's not working, change it up. But the delicate bite, and I had to go down in size. Now, before you left, Steph, we were out there on Croton that day, and we were dropping almost 40 feet.
Yeah.
And we were dropping down there with number 14 jigs. You can only go one size smaller without getting into European stuff. That's a small jig to go down that far. So having a really super limp line, a good light mono, I mean, 2 pound max.
Yeah.
You know, number one, we're not catching 2 pound bluegill in Michigan. If you are, call me up. I want to come buy you a beer. I want to see the thing. But you don't need freaking anchor chain to pull them up, okay? You need something that's super limp, super light, that'll go down with that light that small tungsten jig to get down to the bottom. Now, not only the one time to get down there, but if you catch a fish, to get back down there while you have a school. Because when they leave, you're back to hunting again. Mm-hmm. And you want to get as many fish out of a hole as possible. So we did a seminar out at Sadler's out there in Six Lakes. And we went back to First Lake where we did that day with Chad and Anthony.
Yeah.
And went out there at noon and hung out with the guys, some of the locals out there. And there was some pretty unique characters out there on the ice that day.
I can imagine.
And it wasn't quite as cold, but it dropped down. And Greeny came with me, so we were out there. And I was schooling Greeny, and I got him catching fish. It was a miracle. But I got him catching fish and taught him a little more how to read his flasher. He bought that Showdowner. And it's, I know you used to have one.
Yep.
It's a great little starter unit, but he had the settings wrong.
Yeah, you got to know the settings on them.
He had her set to a 40-foot range, and we're setting in 19 feet of water. I'm like, Greeny, we got to change that. Mm-hmm. So my point with that is that you guys, if you have a flasher, watch all the YouTubes you can. Study how people are using it. Get out and use it as much as possible.
Yep.
And if you've got a buddy like Steph or I that are very, very used to our flashers, we are more than willing to help you out and watch your flasher and explain what you're seeing on your flasher. Now,
yeah, those Showdowns are really cool on the sensitivity part of them. I had mine set up, and I showed him how to do it. One of the guys that bought mine, I could have the jig go down, and you could tell when the bait, when you got robbed.
Yeah.
I'm like, when your jig disappears, you've lost your bait.
Yeah. I mean, they're great narrow.
So then when they, oh, yeah. Yep, fantastic.
So, but, you know, a lot of guys want to come over, and they want to watch me on my LX7. Mm-hmm. And think that's going to help them on their flasher. That's not the way to start.
No, because you already got yours dialed in for your settings.
Learn to ride the bicycle you bought, okay? And learn on your own. Now, Steph and I, we've used enough different flashers, we can be helpful with that. And a lot of your buddies are going to be able to be helpful with that. Take the time and have them look over your shoulder and explain it to you. Watch those YouTube videos. It's a lot of great stuff. But I was jigging, and I developed this new one. It was a three-bounce stall, one-bounce, three-bounce stall, one-bounce. And on First Lake, that got them going. And all of a sudden, I was just pulling them up. And Jack, sorry, the Wonder Bread wasn't working, but the Candy Stripe was. And the pink Candy Stripe from Scandia was just banging them up. And I don't know what the deal was. The pink spikes were really working. They wouldn't hit the blues, and they really weren't hitting too hard on the whites. But the pinks, they loved them.
Yep.
Reds, they could take or leave. Having an arsenal of different jigs, different color jigs, different size jigs, different baits even, whether it's plastics or live, can make the difference between putting fish in the bucket or not. And I walked off the ice, bucket full of fish. We went back over to Sadler's, had some pizza, had a great seminar, and, oh, I pulled a gimmick on him. So Jamie, that owns Sadler's out there, he was telling me that he's run out of Wonder Breads and Bloody Noses. He called the distributor. You can't get any more this season. They're out. And I happen to have about a dozen in my pocket. And so the first 12 people that showed up on time to the seminar.
Got him a jig.
I got him a jig. I said, you can't even buy these in the store. Here you guys go.
Yeah.
And they were ecstatic. We had such a wonderful evening over there at Sadler's in Six Lakes. And if you haven't stopped by there, stop by, say hi to Jamie and his wife and his son that work the store there. Great little bait shop if you're out northeast of Grand Rapids and stuff. Now, I also hit Reed's Lake.
Okay.
It was slicker than shit. And the first day I hit out there, you know, the bluegill were tight-lipped and on the bottom. Nothing around the structure that we normally fish. And then the second time I went out there, old Pat Bloom and I went out there, and all we found is pinky-size perch everywhere.
Palm rod practice.
They're in 45 feet of water.
Line manatee.
Oh, my God. I'm like, and I changed batteries. Now, guys, I drill with a 28-volt Milwaukee, just like Steph does. And I had been smart enough to bring out a second battery that day. And I changed batteries. I drilled so many holes looking for something other than fingerling, stupid perch. I don't know if the DNR just dumped a truckload in there or what, but
they were prolific.
My God, they were.
Did you put your new blades on?
Put my new blades on.
All right.
And
made a hell of a difference, I bet.
Zip zap, I'm shooting. Like, I probably, Pat said, what'd you drill? 100 holes? I think at I drilled least a little more than 100.
Mm-hmm.
But I finally gave up on that day. And
did you try down towards Roses? Work that edge?
I worked
edge,
sort of to cross that basin, but I didn't go all the way down there. I was drilling like every 8, 10 feet. trying to find structure, trying to find anything that was moving or weed bed or anything.
We'll have to spend some time out there, so we set the Boy Scouts and
We're going to get into
some good spots.
Some time here. We got a few things coming up. I also hit McEwen one day. I went up to Camp Lake one day. Our buddy Rickers, he has a cabin up there.
Okay.
That's pretty close, just south of your house, Steph. That was another good one. That I went out and got into some bluegill there. It was some sorting, but I got into it, ran into some of the locals and talked to them, and there were guys using everything under the sun. They had some old antique Lowrances. They had some hummingbirds. They had some Showdowns.
You brought your Markham out there and waxed them all.
And I turned on that Markham LX7, and everybody
blew
them
out of the water.
Yeah, everybody went Christmas tree. So I moved I moved a little bit away from them.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dumphy, Mike Dumphy, he comes up and shows up, and he's got that LX3. He plunks the LX3 down on the other side of those guys and blew theirs out of the water again.
Yep.
But we had a real nice day up there. Rickers hosted us for the afternoon fishing up there. Snuck out to a couple other little secret spots and did some scouting. We got a few buckets of fish here in the last couple of weeks. So.
Yeah, and last week, and weren't you up at Higgins?
Yeah. Now, Higgins, my buddy, Jim Flynn here, Schmoes, he's a Mug Club regular, and he's got a family cabin up there. Now, they rent it out all summer long, so if you want to rent a cabin on Higgins Lake on the south side, he's got a pontoon boat, a lot of fun stuff. Stop by Schmoes and ask for Jim Flynn. He might be able to help you out with that, but in the winter, he gets to use it, so he's, come on, guys, let's go. Steph, we drank two cornies of beer. There were three of us, but we took the quads and we got out there on the ice, and that lake is so clear. My God.
That water's crystal. You can see 100 feet down that damn lake.
It was glare smooth ice. There were patches of snow. So you're raring across with the quad and you're out on the glare and you're siding sideways and whizzing and your sled's coming up to pass you and stuff. And then you'd hit some snow and over the snow you go and get some traction and get up to speed again and stuff. But when you're out over that clear, you know how I like to stand up when I'm running the quad?
Yeah.
And I'm leaning out and I'm looking over the front. And it's like you're flying because you're watching the bottom go by and the patches of weeds. And you see, oh, there's a little school of fish. And you try and stop and you slide sideways. And you get off and drill a hole and catch the fish. But it was just like you're flying when you're going across the ice. It was so, so cool. But it is a huge body of water.
And deep.
Well, we were on the south end, which is not quite as deep. First spot we sat down, there was a community hole going, and we didn't really have a clue where to go. I had looked at the Navionics a little bit, but start with the community hole and get over there. And these guys were, you know, they had some monsters laying on the ice. They had some 15-inch perch laying on the ice.
Nice.
They're almost teeter pigs. And I'm like, well, we're going to drill some holes and check this out here. We're in almost 60 feet of water. Now, that was quite a thing to get down with that jig. And I played with going up some Yukon spoons. They wouldn't hit those spoons. They wanted a little bitty jig. And I just couldn't consistently get keeper. A lot of fingerling. So I said to the guys, let's pack up and, you know, Flynn, he caught a couple of fish there. And I says, I'm going to pack up and I'm going to go scouting. And so I looked on Navionics and I found a sunken island that was just to the north of it. And it looked like it had a serious drop off on one side and a slope off on the other side, but there was a ridge down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm going to check that ridge because fish like structure. And I want to go look and see if there's weed beds on it. So I get cruising up there on the quad and I can look right through the ice. Oh, look, weed beds. So I stopped and started going at it, and all of a sudden I'm pulling some 10 and 12s. I'm going, these, they're not real robust, but they're cleanable.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, okay, I'm on to some fish. Boom, boom, I wave at the guys. They come all over and set up their shelter. They had a brand new hub style that Flynn got for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're sitting in there, and they're just aghast because in that dark hub, they're just looking down at the bottom, and it's like,
yeah, it's cool to watch all that and be able to like sight fish them.
Just as they get their shelter set up, I pull that 15 in, and I'm like, what is on my line. I thought I had a Wally or something.
Mm-hmm.
It was very impressive. I got that up to the hole, and I got a few more, you know, 12, 13s and stuff, and a bunch of cleanables and stuff. So we ended up with a little bit of, you know, mess of fish there to take back to the cabin, but had an absolutely wonderful day. Now, the next day we go out, and all I could get was finger. The temperature had changed. The sun had come out. It changed. Barometric had changed. It was just the fingerlings at that. So the second day wasn't as great as the first one, but we ended up, on Saturday night. I filleted up all the fish, did a little dry batter on them, a little pan saute with them, and Flynn had brought some steaks, put those on the grill, so we had a surf and turf dinner. It was wonderful, and the guys just bragged about it.
Looked good. You sent me a picture.
Oh, I was sending everybody pictures. It was like, hey. I'm on Higgins Lake banging up some perch here, so... It was a really great time, and I'm looking forward to it, now that you're back, we got a little time, we're going to get out and hit some ice, too. We're going to hit some more of these Grand Rapids area lakes and the Howard City area lakes, and if you see us out on the ice, I got to warn you, we have new suits, and we could be wearing the red, white, and blue Strikers, or we could be wearing the red, white, and blue Norfin. So if you see the red, white, and blue, stop by, say hi to us, and see if it's us, and chat us up, and maybe... maybe we'll have some advice for you on what's going on that day.
Or a few Wonder Bread.
I'm starting to run low on those. But anyway, we're the MI Ice Guys, and we're going to be back, and we're going to talk about some more upcoming events that are going to be hitting the ice near you.
Hey, when I'm heading out fishing, I want to grab me a couple of beers. I like to have pop top off one. And my choice is Schmoe's. Bone Crusher, Treasure Chest, Hop Knocker if you dare. Amber Teas, IPA, and Pale Ale. Grab the Brewer's Six. It'll do you well out on the ice, and you can even share with your pals. So stop by your local bottle shop and grab some Schmoes. See you out there on the ice, guys. Drive safe.
Hey, guys. You got a picture of your good catch? Maybe that big whopper crappie barely fit through the hole. Whatever it is, everybody loves seeing a good ice fishing picture. So feel free to upload those to the MI Ice Guys Facebook page. You can find us facebook.com/MI Ice Guys. Hoping to see you some big ones.
Hey guys, we're the MI Ice Guys, and now it's time to talk about what we're going to do and some really fun and interesting things that are coming up. The one I want to start with is this weekend, the last full weekend here in January, Steph and I are going to be at the Hunt and Time Expo in Grand Rapids up at the Deltaplex, and I believe it's free admission to get in and walk around. Check out all the booths that are there. We're going to be also holding some seminars. I know that we've got 3 days of seminars. Our buddy Dave Slater, he's going to be doing that. Even old Wild Bill Ferris is going to join us for a session in there. And I think we're also going to have some impromptu Ask the Ice Guy, where we're going to set up a panel of four or five ice pros up at the front. You guys just come on up, you know, into the crowd and ask us a question, because everybody can learn from those knowledge points. Now, Steph and I were talking on the break, and we've decided I've got a big pretzel jar full of jigs that K&E has given us, and we're going to give away some jigs. So what we've decided to do is we're going to have a secret keyword for anybody that listens to the podcast to come up, and you find Steph or I, and you tell us John T. Pilsner, okay? John T. Pilsner. Now, that's the beer that we're drinking tonight while we're over here at Schmoe's recording. But you tell us John T. Pilsner, and we'll give you a jig with our compliments on it. If you want, Steph will even autograph the back. You know, he's sometimes more famous than I.
I haven't shown you how to tie it on.
Yeah, he'll give you a lesson on how to tie it on. Because
snelling them on.
Snelling on a hook is something that you should learn. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this coming weekend. Check us out at the Deltaplex at the Hunting Time Expo. Then we've got Super Bowl weekend, which I think we're going to go out and fuss around and go fishing.
Yep. Oh,
and yeah. Then the next weekend, we're holding Kids Camp, a youth fishing day on Reed's Lake here in East Grand Rapids. If you would like to join in and you have a youth that really, really you're trying to get into ice fishing, we're going to have a ton of kids out there on the ice. We're going to have some equipment. We're going to have a guy out there grilling some hot dogs.
Yep. I know a guy that can bring some root beer.
I don't know about the root beer. The glass bottles are the problem. But we're going to have some other refreshments. I know that one of the den mothers is going to bring some cookies, and I know her cookies are good.
Woo-hoo.
So we're going to do that. Now, last night I was over at the Byron Center pack of the Gerald Ford chapter of the Cub Scouts and did a little ice safety talk for the kids. They're going to be coming out. I know there's a troop from Ionia that are going to be sending out a bunch. I also know that there's a group from Greenville coming down, and a couple of the other Grand Rapids groups are going to come in. Now, my buddy John Gonzalez put it on MLive, so we could just have a ton of people. This could be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
All we're going to ask you to do is to go on to either the Facebook event or onto miiceguys.com, and where the post is, there's a little thing to register. We just want to know how many kids are going to be there, so we got enough hot dogs. And does your youth have fishing equipment, or do they need some? So we want to make sure that we bring enough equipment and stuff. So if you're going to join us with your youth, just jump on there, sign up. No real personal information. We need, you know, parents' name, kids' name, parents' email, so that if anything changes, we can get a hold of you. But we're planning on just that absolutely riotous day. Last year, we had a blast.
Kids had fun. We had tip-ups going.
Steph brought out his chest pack AquaView 3 and was scoping down under the ice, and those kids went nuts being able to look under the ice.
Got
on
to
TV.
See the fish, and yep, underwater cameras are kind of cool for them.
And we set up a little shelter. If anybody gets a little chilled or something, we've got that out there. But we have a great time out there, and we finished off the day setting down on our buckets and pulling out the palm rods. And when those kids started seeing us pull a fish every 15-20 seconds, I had one of the dads at the Cub Troop last night. He's like, how are you pulling them so fast? And they were just little perch, but we were in shallow enough water. We got the palm rods out and did a little palm rod demonstration. That was going to be a lot of fun. Now, for those of you that don't have a palm rod, I think Steph and I will both have a few to maybe sell at the Hunt and Time Expo this weekend. So look us up and see about that. And remember, tell us John T. Pilsner and you get a jig.
Yep.
Then we've got some other things coming up later in the month. The next weekend is the Lake St. Helens tournament for the NIIFC.
That'll be the 18th.
If you don't know where that is, Houghton and Higgins Lake, just off to the northeast of that. And just get up that way. It's a great thing to come out and see the weigh-in, come out and see what's going on with the fishing. Seeing that start with all those teams taking off at 8 a.m., zoom up across the ice, it's quite the thing to see.
We have a good turnout in Michigan, usually.
It's going to be a wild time. You'll see Steph and I out there on the black and yellow quad. I might even bring mine up, too, to run with you, depending on how deep the snow is.
Well, they got a Friday night seminar up there that we do for the NAIFC.
Yeah, so you can come attend that.
Yep.
So if you got a vacation home up that way or got a buddy that does, come on up.
We got the kids' ice camp on Saturday.
There's a lot of things to do.
Yep.
You sound like an old radio guy. And we got a lot going on. But
there is
a lot going on. There's some practice fishing going on. We're going to probably be up there a day or two early, running around the area. My buddy Doug has offered his house up there for us to camp out in, so we're going to be running our compound there. And if you see us out on the ice, probably by then we'll be wearing the North End suits, and spot us out and say hi if you see us coming and going off the ice. If we're fishing during competition on Sunday, we'd rather you kind of stayed back, but we're going to try and get us some big wood. And if you've listened to prior episodes, you know what that means. Then, you know, after that, we've got a couple more good fishing weekends before we take off to the world. And there's a lot of cool things. Now, during the weeks, we're going to be hitting some afternoons out fishing. We'd love to see your pictures of fish. We've been posting a few of ours up. You got MI Ice Guys Facebook page where you can contribute a photo. And if you caught you one of them 2-pounders, you know, it's going to break that 2-pound line. I want to see it.
Heck, if you break 1 pound, I want to see it.
Yeah. That's some impressive stuff. But we're just out to have a blast.
Yeah.
Now, the last weekend of February, I'm going to give you a teaser before the break here, are the tryouts for the World Ice Fishing Competition for Team USA, USA Ice.
Yeah, 2019.
Where they're saying maybe we're going to Poland.
Yep.
So that could be a big adventure and a lot of fun. So when we come back, I want you, John T. Pilsner for that free jig down at the Hunt and Time Expo. We want all the listeners to stop by and see us. But when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the tryouts and our planned trip to Kazakhstan for the WIFC 2018. So we're the MI Ice Guys, walking on the hard water God gave us. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, Chaz here from the MI Ice Guys. I want to talk to you about K&E stopper lures, especially the Scandia line of tungsten jigs. I've been having a great time fishing with these this year, and last year. The new colors are awesome. Check them out. Get out there to your local sporting goods shop and look for that blue packaging with yellow text on it. Pick up a Scandia lure or 10. It's a whole lot of fun to fish with. They're bright, they're durable, and good stuff. Hey, remember to stop on out to miiceguys.com and report the ice thickness where you're fishing. Help us all out in knowing where there's safe ice. Check out the map online at miiceguys.com.
Hey guys, it's the MI Ice Guys, and we're back to talk a little world ice fishing. Thought we'd wrap the show up today with this one. The tryouts are coming out. It's the
22nd, so Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, out at the Holiday Acres Resort. You go to usaiceteam.org, and right on the front page, you'll see information about the tryouts. You need to register so that the captains and coaches know that you're coming. And you get to try out to see if you've got what it takes to compete at the world level in world-style fishing. Now, you guys have heard us when we talked about Rage in the Cage and the past years that we've traveled. This is a palm rod game because they're going to put you on little bitty fish.
And speed is the key.
Speed is the key. You're going to have to hand auger. The guys that kick your butt augering, specifically Chad, they all use the double handle augers, the speed handles.
Offset,
So it doesn't have the red ball on the top that you guys are used to with your Mora. It's got two Ds on it, and you spin it around, and you can get through the ice really quick. But it's hand augering, typically palm rod fishing, and it's game on, buddy. Mm-hmm. It's run, it's drill, it's fish, it's speed competition.
You're welcome to bring the spinning reel, but you're going to get owned by a palm rod.
Yeah, yeah. And
we've had guys do it before, and it's like, and overseas, they will just tear you up.
Yeah, it's a different thing. There's a lot of videos out there. You guys can check it out and stuff. But if you think you're that good, now, I know that there's some people that are thinking that they're the master. Put your money where your mouth is. It costs you $50 to come play, you know? They got room rates over there and stuff. Get a hold of us. Ask an MI Ice guy if you need more details. There's a form on the usaiceteam.org to get information on it and stuff. There's a mandatory rules meeting on Thursday night where the coaches and training coaches are going to go through
all
the basics.
Rules. Yep.
They're going to tell you the itinerary, what's going on with the competition and stuff. And then Friday and Saturday, it's ice. It's on the ice. And Sunday's set aside to basically get your butt back home so you can go back to work on Monday.
Or for the tournament guys, hit the tournament on Sunday.
Yeah, there is a tournament in the area, so they're going to that. I'll be here in Michigan working my day job.
You'll be at Beer Fest. Working.
That's my job. Mm-hmm. Winter Beer Fest. Now that I'm a board member of the Michigan Brewers Guild.
You got to be there.
I got to be there. But that's coming up. And so if you think you got what it's there, ask some questions. Go out, try out. You know, I hear a lot of people flapping their lips and telling me big stories. I want to see if you can really fish with the guys that are willing to put up money to travel across the world and fish.
And just like with Rage in the Cage, if you're out there and you don't have a palm rod,
get a hold
we can round a few up for you. And
get a
we'll
hold
make sure you got the right gear to compete and try these things out.
And if you're a West Michigan guy and you want a little practice beforehand, get a hold of us. We got
come see us.
Number of guys that can help.
Call us.
Get
contact,
you straight in.
Call, ask an ice guy.
Yep, ask an ice guy on miiceguys.com. So then, you know, we got that going. And then just a short, like, week and a half later, we're on planes, baby.
Yeah, the 9th. We fly out of March.
Yeah. Right. So we're going to do our thing where we round up all the Michigan boys and drive down to Chicago and get us ride over to O'Hare. And we sat on a plane for like 10 hours to Germany.
And we got a little layover
like
there.
7-hour layover.
Six, 7 hours, yeah.
There'll be
we'll
some
have a few beers.
Drinking and sleeping going on there. But then we're on another plane off to, what's the name of the city? I can't pronounce it.
Almaty.
Almaty, Kazakhstan.
Or no, Astana.
Astana.
Yeah, we're flying into Astana. Sorry.
Flying into Astana, and then we take a bus to Almaty or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know. It's all 11 hours away in time zones.
It's 12 from Chicago, whatever.
Yeah, it's
still it's halfway around the world.
It's halfway around the world. And so we're going to be over there. So when you're going to bed, we're probably getting up to go fishing.
And it's pretty much central Kazakhstan, so it's not, I mean, it's going to be cold there. Astana is one of the coldest cities in the world. We should have good ice.
We I put the app on my phone so that I could tell what the temperature was on it. And I've been watching that
same
stuff.
Here.
And let's see what it says right now. It says that it is, if I get to the right one here, Tiramitu is like the closest weather city
I
could find.
Yeah.
It is 4:45 in the morning there. It's 5:45 in the afternoon. And what the hell are you showing there?
Negative 31 degrees.
Mine shows -2. I better refresh it. -31 degrees. Oh, I think they'll have ice.
Yeah, they're supposed to get down to -37 tonight is their low.
Holy crikey. But Steph, our suits are only rated for -35.
It'll warm up by March.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mine's saying -25 now.
Yeah.
It is. This is
drilling through 3 feet up. Ice could be another challenge.
By hand.
By hand.
Yeah. How many holes do you and I drill to map out?
Hundreds.
Million. Yeah. It's crazy. So we'll be traveling over there. And we as Americans, not being able to just drive over and visit, like the Russians, they actually held their championship on the ice that we're going to be competing on. The Kazakhs, they held a competition. We've been watching the YouTube videos of all of that stuff, studying what they're catching, how they're doing it. We had a phone meeting last night, and a lot of those things were discussed on how, what they're catching and things like that. And so we were doing a lot of research and planning to get into this. There is a rule change that are going to allow us to electronically measure depth.
Yeah.
So that's going to up.
I wonder if electronics include Milwaukee.
No, I don't think so. There is a thing in there that says no Milwaukees. We have to hand drill the
zing,
holes
zing.
All 3 feet deep. But it is going to be one hell of an adventure, and we're going to be there for several days of practice. Then we have the 3 official days of practice, and then on Saturday and Sunday, yes, it's true, we miss St. Patrick's Day. We will be fishing on St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. And we'll have our competition and closing ceremonies, and the meeting last night, we discussed that basically after closing ceremonies, everybody's going to change into their travel clothes, have a few drinks, party a little bit, and then we're getting on the bus and going to the airport.
Yep, pretty much.
No bed that night.
Nah, you have time to sleep on the plane.
Yeah, you got a bus, and I don't know, was it a couple hours on the bus maybe? And then the plane ride to Germany is going to be 10 hours, and then a layover in Germany, and then another 10 hours.
Yeah.
Back to Chicago. And then we jump in the vehicles and drive back to Michigan for another 3 hours. And
that was a struggle last year.
Yeah, it was a struggle for me the year before.
Yeah, the year before, yeah.
But it
last year wasn't too bad, I guess.
But we, gosh, we're going to do some traveling.
It's like rumble strip, Chaz, let me drive.
Yeah, I was about there with you last year.
Yep.
But it was, my mom asked me, she says, how long does it take to get there? I says, about 2 days.
A long time.
She says, how long does it get back? I says, less than a day. Well, the calendar's on our side, and for some reason, we're not going around the earth. We're going to come back the same way we went.
Yeah.
But it is going to be one hell of a trip. We do have an opportunity for those of you that are interested in more details while we're traveling. If you get out there onto wifc.miisguys.com. We have a special subscription program where you can buy in on a VIP program where you'll get Steph and I's little commentaries and some secret pictures that we're not allowed to release to the public, but since you're a supporter, we can. So if you don't remember that address, just ask an MIIS guy and we'll give you the address. And we try and post as best the internet we can. Last couple of years, we've had great internet. Finland, not so much. But they tell me that Kazakhstan is a very oil-rich nation that reinvests in their infrastructure, so they should have plenty of good internet, good roads. This is going to be like a luxury trip.
Yeah, be nice.
And I hear that we're going to be in for maybe some dietary surprise that we haven't had in other countries.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We'll leave that for the VIPs. If you're a VIP subscriber, you'll be able to get on that.
And we'll talk about it when we come back.
Yep, we'll talk about it when we come back. Well, we're the MIIS guys, and we'll be back by the end of March. I think we get home like on the 19th or something like that. We'll know what day it is by the 22nd or something. But we're the MIIS guys. We're going to take a break. We're going to go get another beer and get back to fishing. So you guys be safe out there.
Good luck.
MIIS guys would like to thank you for joining us once again for one of our podcasts. Be sure to subscribe on MIIsguys.com so that you don't miss any of our tips and hear a little bit about our fishing stories. Be safe out there, guys, and enjoy the fishing. It may thaw soon.